Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the HIV Podcast. Each week, we focus on a person, historical event, or pop culture moment linked to HIV and explore the story of what actually happened. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jess. And between us, we've been working in the field of HIV for 40 years. Our aim is to get as many people as possible HIV educated. Just so you don't have to ask, we're recording.
Right, edit that out. Welcome to the HIV Podcast.
Thank you. Are you just welcoming me?
No, I'm not welcoming you at all. I'm welcoming everyone else. I've got you on the different side of my screen this week, and it's quite, I keep looking the wrong way.
Can't you make me the whole screen?
No, I don't want you on my whole screen. That's too much.
Your massive face is my whole screen.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, this is interesting for everybody. How are you?
Yes, I am all good. Well, there's loads to talk about this week. Can we start by touching on the Alan Sugar tweet?
Right, what happened with this? Tell me all.
Unfortunately, I'm a bit late to the party. So I'm not entirely sure when it was, but a lot of the newspaper articles around this broke in the last couple of days. So it must have been then. And this is in reference to the EastEnders storyline that's currently happening around HIV. So he tweeted, "So Zach might be HIV positive. If he is, then the baby growing inside Tiffany could also be HIV. If Zach gets tested and he is positive, he will have to tell Tiffany. She will have to decide if to terminate the pregnancy." And then he's added BBC EastEnders. And quite rightly, everyone was like, what on earth are you using your platform to tweet this for? Why are you doing this? This misinformation. Yeah, I'm really puzzled as to why he did that. I mean, THT had tweeted about it saying, you know, this is real HIV misinformation. And it is.
So he's assuming then that if you're pregnant and your child might be HIV positive, you've got to get rid of it. That's what he's essentially saying, isn't he?
Put a story up today, actually, and I have added him, just encouraging him to listen to the HIV podcast, because here is somebody who clearly needs a bit more HIV education.
There is much work to be done, isn't there?
Oh, isn't there? Well, on another negative note, I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to ruin all your days, everyone. So you're welcome. Obviously, last episode, which was fantastic, about Gareth Thomas and blackmail went out. And I had someone reply that said, what a joy Twitter is at the moment, to say if he was, in capital letters, being blackmailed, why didn't he go to the police? Doubt this is true. The guy's a born liar.
Wow.
So I had replied and just said, Gareth's legal team got an injunction, but he ultimately felt he had to share his status on Twitter. This is a true story. So I thought, I'm not looking to get into some sort of argument, just letting you know, in case that was a true question of him saying, I'm not sure if this is true or not, however someone wants to word it, let's respond.
The point, and we did say this actually, I think, in the episode, bonkers as it may sound, the papers aren't breaking the law by publishing something about someone that they believe to be true. There are like libel laws, aren't there? And, you know, yes. Papers are very accomplished at covering themselves in this kind of thing. But it's not going to stop them, you going to a police station and reporting it. Oh, I feel bad. This person's missed the whole point of it, haven't they?
just go and have a little listen to the episode, and then you'll know where you're at in terms of maybe especially the first blackmail episode, where you're at in terms of harassment and where you stand with the law.
It's so weird, isn't it? And I think, you know, with the Charlie Sheen episode that we did, I mean, there are two sides to every story. But the bottom line is, it is not OK to try and out someone about their HIV diagnosis publicly without their consent. That is that person's choice. And I don't believe anybody has the right to take that choice away from them, whether you're very, very famous or not. We can all say, yes, with either case, you know, there will be elements that people might think, oh, I don't know if that's true or that's... We're using trusted sources for all of this. And I think if you get caught up in the intricacies of who said what and who did what, then you're missing the point. And I will say it again, and I'll keep saying it forever. It is not okay for anyone to disclose anyone's status. It's that person's choice. If you're HIV positive, it's your choice to tell people, not anybody else.
Absolutely agree. It was just a real shame to see that. But we did get some nice comments as well.
Hooray!
Yay. It's not all doom and gloom over here, Sarah. I'm not just making the day terrible. So we did get some nice comments as well. And one was from UK Positive Lad, who we've actually featured in a podcast, haven't we? Tom Hayes.
Oh, now he is the voice of reason. He's a sensible person.
He is lovely. And he commented to say, and this was about our first episode around the Equalities Act. And, you know, where we really gave people, I love how I say we, I did not do the research or tell people, you definitely did it, where you had let people know about the Equalities Act. And he said, love this. Thank you for raising attention on this topic. I bang on about the EA, meaning Equalities Act, every day. Thank you also for being an absolute advocate about the Equalities Act, especially in terms of HIV. It's so important.
It is. And we need to do more work on this in the future. And I think we probably need to do some episodes. We are going to do some episodes in the future, because I think it always helps just to go over, you know, your rights as a positive person and what's acceptable and what's not, because I think that's always a grey area, isn't it?
Yes. And I think it's something we get asked about a lot. So I think it's actually very helpful for us as well. So, yeah, so that's all my news. There's some nice bits that people are commenting on, as well as, you know, some horrible bits. And people might wonder why I read those out. But I think it's important to address even the negative comments.
Oh, I think you've got to keep it real, haven't you? And I think that is the life of a HIV podcaster. For every nice comment you get and every positive feedback you get, you've got someone going, no, I don't think this is true. Or, oh, God, HIV, gross. And that's just how it is, isn't it?
Actually, they're proving our point that this podcast is really needed.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, people who send negative comments. It's all useful, all good feedback.
I just like that people argue when they haven't even listened to the podcast, clearly. It's like, go and listen to the episode rather than just fire out comments, you know, before you know the whole story. That's the exact point of this. But anyway, so there we go. What a few days it's been in terms of Twitter.
Hasn't it just? Hey, we won't be able to tell if Lord Sugar listens to our podcast, will we?
No, well, unless he tweets about it, maybe he will. Today, we're doing about a family, aren't we? That's what I remember from last week.
Well, kind of. So we are featuring someone in America. So we've featured famous people that have been blackmailed because of their fame. Gareth Thomas, Charlie Sheen. But what about if you're not so famous? Are those people at risk of blackmail too? Yes, they are. So we're featuring someone who wrote an article for Pos.com in 2015 about his experience of being blackmailed. His name is Jamie Brickhouse. He's American, does a lot of work around raising awareness, HIV, suicide, alcohol addiction, rehab, all of those kind of things. And he's got amazing dress sense. If you look him up on TikTok.
Is he on TikTok?
He is on TikTok, yes.
As are we, everyone. As are we, remember. Little plug there.
But he's done lots of stories recently about what happened around his HIV. And I think he's amazing. He's got fab, absolutely beautiful stiletto shoes. He looks amazing.
Well, I can't wait to dig into this. I didn't realise. I thought this was going to be, like you're saying, another famous case. But exactly, why wouldn't we feature people that aren't necessarily as famous? What happens in your day-to-day life if this happens to you? Right, let's go.
Okay.
Begin.
Right. So, So Jamie experienced emotional blackmail. It happened in 2012. He's been positive for 10 years, but very few people knew about his diagnosis. His partner, few close friends. He didn't feel the need for anyone else to know because he was healthy. He was undetectable. So no need to disclose to kind of close family, you know, like parents or his professional colleagues. And I get that, actually. I think that's quite a common choice for a lot of people. If you're not unwell, why burden your mum and dad or your siblings with this news? Maybe burden's probably the wrong word. I don't think it would be a burden. No one would see it as that. But I think a lot of positive people feel that it might be.
Like we were saying in the Gareth Thomas episode, if your parents are from a different generation, they don't really realise the advances in medication and that you can live absolutely normal life expectancy. And, you know, they don't know about you equals you. Go imagine how much education you'd have to do.
Yes, definitely. And I think because people's only source of education was those adverts in the 80s, even if you're kind of saying to them, actually, that isn't the case anymore. I think it takes more than one person to change those kind of attitudes, definitely.
Do we know if they had any adverts that were sort of the equivalent to our Don't Die of Ignorance campaign?
Oh, I don't know, actually. I mean, they must have done.
Because that would be really interesting to know how it was handled in America as well.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so as we've just been saying, and again, use our service users as a reference point here. When they've been diagnosed, we always talk to them. I think the urges when you're newly diagnosed, not for everybody, but for some people, is that you need to tell everybody because that's what you do. You know, I've got this health condition and everybody needs to know. And I think Jamie's stance on his diagnosis back then is a good reminder, perhaps, for people. Think about who needs to know and who you want to know. That's kind of your criteria, isn't it, for disclosure? There are some people that might need to know, you know, somebody you've done protected sex with, for example, they need to know, they need to go and get tested. And there will be some people you want to know, your very close support network. But everybody else, they can wait for another day.
That's a really good way of putting that.
But you find, don't you, when we have newly referred or newly diagnosed service users referred to us, that they'll be like, I need to let everybody know instantly. And it's like, no, take a step back. In fact, I think that's probably the best advice that we give out when someone's first referred to us is let's take a step back from this.
Yes, just wait.
You know, you've got us. Yep, absolutely.
Also, when you're still perhaps processing your diagnosis, maybe you are there going, yeah, everything's fine and I'm great, so I'm just going to tell everyone. But like you're saying, just you can't untell people. Once they know that information. So just wait on it. Maybe you'll still feel the same way and that's great, but maybe you won't. And you go, oh God, yeah. Why do my work have to know? Or, you know, why does Bob down the street? There's no need for that.
No. And later on in the year, we will be doing some episodes, one definite episode, definitely, maybe two, around disclosure, because I think it's a big topic and we can kind of look at all of this in more detail and perhaps use some of our service users' experience of when they've disclosed or why they've chosen not to disclose. All of that is coming up in the future.
We are. I'm so impressed with us, Sarah. 2023, organised.
At the moment, I mean, it's only been a couple of weeks, isn't it?
I don't look at me us on the back. This is, we're recording our third episode of the entire year. And I'm like, oh, well done us. Aren't we doing such a good job?
Okay, back to lovely Jamie. So he was particularly keen to protect his parents. They knew he was gay, but he didn't want them to feel any shame. And he felt that it was inevitable given the attitudes towards HIV at the time. So that's why he's chosen not to tell them. Here in 2012, he fell out with a family member who did know his status. That person retaliated by leaving this voicemail on his phone. I don't have the actual recording. I realise I just made it sound like I did. I'm just going to read out what they said.
Oh, you made it sound exactly like you're about to play it for us. So, okay.
No. So the person says, I may not have told your mum about your HIV condition. Brackets, she'd passed away by this point. He didn't say that. Now I start again because it sounds like I'm making it more complicated than it is.
No. I'm with you. The caveat is that Jamie's mum has passed away, so this person wouldn't have been able to tell the mum. Is that correct?
That's right.
You can begin again.
Okay. So he says, I may not have told your mum about your HIV condition, but I'm sure going to tell your dad. How do you think he's going to react to that? I'm sure you'll know soon enough after I tell him. That was it. That was the message.
It was on a voicemail. Well, that's sinister, isn't it?
It is. And as Jamie said, you know, it was almost like kind of white hot anger that was fueling those words. And, you know, this person wants to create shame, fear, intimidation. Basically, it's emotional blackmail, isn't it? You're trying to make somebody feel awful about their status and going, well, I could tell your dad now. It's not acceptable, Jess.
I think that's horrendous.
So Jamie's reaction, quite naturally, is to have a bit of a meltdown. I would have done too. And also panic. But there's a sense of, well, what do I do? Because what do you do in that situation? I don't think it's one, hopefully, that most of us have come across on a regular basis. But Jamie is thinking, do I phone that person back? Do I beg for mercy? Is that what they want? I mean, if you think of Charlie Sheen or Gareth Thomas, the blackmail's quite black and white. If you don't tell the world you're positive, we're going to print it in the press or we'll tell your family.
That's so true. There's a clear cut. This is for the world's press. It's for the media. And therefore, actually, everyone's making money off of their diagnosis, aren't they, and their status. But you're right. In terms of this, what's the end goal? What's the aim?
Exactly. This is blackmail that gives no option for him to disclose. They're basically saying, you've really annoyed me, so I'm going to tell your dad that you're positive. And poor Jamie, there's nothing he can physically do about that. Basically, you've upset me, so now I'm going to upset you, and there's nothing you can do. It's awful, isn't it? It's still kind of blackmail because they're saying that, you know, I'm going to tell somebody about your HIV status, but it's not saying I want money or I want to live in your house rent free or anything like that in return.
No,
very difficult situation to be in.
Yeah, they just want to be extremely hurtful and take something away from you because they're taking that choice of whether to tell your parent or not. That's being removed from you.
Yeah. And I don't know what caused this person to be so angry. I don't really want to know, to be honest. It's kind of none of our business. But imagine having the impetus to go, I've got this hold over you that you didn't actually know I had, and I'm going to use it to my advantage to hurt you. I'm not going to give you an option or a get out clause. You know, this is just what I'm going to do.
When you suddenly realise that that person has deemed that as like a power thing, like you're saying, that they hold over that other person, suddenly I suppose you'd stop viewing that relationship when you were getting on in quite a different way.
Absolutely. So, you know, in the first episode, when we talked about if someone in your personal life discloses your status without your consent, there isn't a lot you can do. This highlights that perfectly. So we're going to look at how Jamie handled this. So very quickly, and I think I would have done the same, he becomes angry. And that anger fuels his decision to call his dad himself. So he says out loud to himself, I'm not going to be blackmailed. I won't be made to feel ashamed for being positive. And that gives him some perspective because he's absolutely right. Of course, he shouldn't be made to feel ashamed. And then he's like, well, so what if my dad knows? One thing he was certain about is that the only person that was going to tell his dad was him. And so then he's taken control of the situation. Yes, he's being forced into disclosing to his dad. That's not ideal. But he's seizing back that control by not allowing this person, whoever it was, to do it for him.
Yes, he's not letting it hang over him, is he? And worrying. I would imagine this person wants to make Jamie uncomfortable, don't they? They want to make Jamie's life more difficult for him to be stressed and worried. And so, like you're saying, Jamie's just like, no, you're not having that. No, absolutely not.
I know. And I think perhaps the person misjudged Jamie's character. I think it takes a very strong person to do this. And I know this approach would not be for everybody. But they've obviously misjudged how he was going to deal with it. So good for Jamie. He does. He calls his dad immediately and he blurts out everything about him being positive for 10 years. There's no need to worry. He's on meds. He's healthy. And he didn't mention any of his concerns or feelings around fear and shame. So it sounds like quite a matter-of-fact phone call, which, again, great way to deal with it. You know, if you're calm, you've got the facts and you're just imparting them to someone else, they're going to be calm and they're going to listen to the facts without any feelings kind of getting in the way. And his dad, well, how did his dad react? So once he understood that Jamie's health was good, it's fine. He's relieved that his son is okay. And they didn't really talk about it again because they had no need to. But one day during one of their phone calls, Jamie's dad mentions that he's going to a gala fundraiser that's held in the town every year. That charity event was for the local AIDS help organisation. And that gesture spoke volumes. to Jamie, louder than a thousand words. How lovely was his dad?
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing. That's what you hope for, isn't it? That someone reacts in that way and can be that supportive.
But what a lovely way to do it. No fuss, no ringing every 5 minutes to see how you are, just letting it lie and then just dropping into the conversation one day. Oh, I'm just popping over to this fundraiser. You know, it's something that's important to me. And obviously it's something that's important to Jamie. That gesture is immense.
Obviously wouldn't have happened if Jamie hadn't have disclosed.
No, it wouldn't have done. I mean, his dad's passed away since this all happened. But Jamie's glad that, you know, his dad knew his status. And Jamie, I think your dad sounds awesome.
Yeah, he sounds pretty wonderful, doesn't he?
Now, something else happened because of the blackmail situation. So Jamie says in the article, he says, my would-be blackmailer did me a favour. After I told my father, I told more friends, and then I included it in a memoir. So now my HIV status is literally an open book. It says, I know many people today who are in the same place as I was in 2012, kind of out to select friends and family, but still afraid of a full revelation. And then he says, unlike Charlie Sheen, I didn't cave into blackmail, but like him, it was blackmail that forced me to finally be open.
And to do all these amazing things and be such an advocate. I love a story like this where there's a good ending.
He goes on to say, each person who comes out about being HIV positive and what that means today removes a layer of the fear, shame, stigma and the gasp of HIV. HIV status should merely be disclosure, not exposure. That is a great line. Why didn't we think of that as the tagline for our mini series?
I'm going to quote that because that is brilliant.
It's such a brilliant claim, isn't it? Then he goes on to say, when it comes to HIV, I'm happy to say I'm blackmail proof. Can't be blackmailed anymore because he's very, very open about his status. No one can have that hold over him.
I thought he meant he was proof that people got blackmailed. I got confused there.
No. So he's saying, you know, everybody knows my status now and it's all fine. And so nobody can hold this over me. No one can exert control over me. You know, he's confident. He's open and just living life, loving life.
Yeah. I wonder how the family member feels about that. Realised that Jamie had taken back that control and was going to be like, actually, no, I'm not going to have this. You know, you'd be like, so you've trashed your relationship. I'm imagining that would trash the relationship, right? Because I wouldn't want to speak to someone after that. And then also you've massively empowered. It's like the biggest backfire ever of that situation for that person, isn't it?
Absolutely. And can you imagine that person seeing now that Jamie has obviously written about this and had his work published? All of this, I mean, Jamie's an author, so he's written a book called Dangerous When Wet, a memoir of booze, sex and my mother. Guessing, because I haven't read the book, that his HIV statement included in there. But it's like the catalyst, wasn't it, for him to almost change his life. So I hope whoever did this to him has taken note and perhaps thought that blackmailing anybody isn't a good move, is it?
But it is nice to hear that someone took that and could be so empowered and went on to do so much good. And now we're learning about them because they've written this article. Where did you say the article was? I know we'll put the link below.
Pos.com.
It's amazing.
It really is. So there you go. That's everything you need to know about Jamie Brickhouse and how he was blackmailed about his HIV status.
Where are we doing after this? Because we've done in our first blackmail, I realised I kept calling it bribery. This is not bribery. It's not the same thing. In our first blackmail episode, obviously, we kind of looked at exactly what constitutes blackmail and what you can do. Then we went Gareth Thomas. Now we've gone to someone who still has a platform, amazing HIV advocate, but not quite as famous as Gareth. So where are we heading next week?
We are coming back to the UK and we're in the 90s. You'll like next week's episode. You like this person we're featuring.
So I must like them a lot enough to talk about if you know this.
Yeah, but you haven't mentioned it for a long time. Maybe I'm getting you confused with someone else. Somebody in our office likes them.
Brilliant.
Slightly different next week. Don't want to give too much away. But it's a different angle on blackmail. One that I actually found really shocking. So I'll be angry all the way through next week's episode. Yay!
No, I don't want you to be angry.
Well, just, honestly, some people.
Okay, so should I brace myself then? Should I be prepared? I'd rather be prepared if I know it's going to be an anger-inducing episode.
Yes, I will have my bag of giant chocolate buttons. That gets me through all emergency crises. Well, it's not an emergency, is it? It's barely a crisis.
I'll have the jar of pickled onions.
Oh my God. Is that what you use when you're watching something scary now? A jar of pickled onions.
Yeah. Do you know, honestly, for my 21st birthday, my dad got me a claw that's for pickled onions, for getting them out of the jar. That's how much I love pickled onions.
I genuinely don't have anything to say to that.
No. I mean, why would you, Sarah? We're supposed to be on a podcast talking about HIV, and here we are again talking about chocolate buttons and pickled onions. I mean, you know, where are we at?
No, I don't know what's happening. We say we're doing really well, but it's just car crash, same as normal.
That was perfect. I'm very excited for next week. What do we have after our blackmail series? Or can you not disclose that? Because obviously we've got two more episodes after this one, haven't we?
We have. And then we are looking at kind of the narrative around HIV, attitudes to HIV. And then we are going to look at condoms, especially the history of condoms. I'm pushing historian hard this year. The history of condoms, mainly because you just think, who on earth developed this as a concept? So we'll look at the history, but we're also going to look at what's planned for the future, because they're always developing new kind of ideas around condoms. So we'll be looking at that as well.
One of those will be within National HIV Testing Week, and the one will be the week after.
Oh.
That's good timing, isn't it?
That wasn't even planned. So if Sean's listening to this episode, it's all planned.
Sean, 2023 is our year. Don't worry, we're on it. Planning things, being less rubbish generally, fingers crossed.
Thanks for listening to the HIV podcast. If you enjoyed our podcast, please like, rate and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You can now also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the HIV podcast for behind the scenes insights and video.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.